morning. Our text is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Now you see him, now you don't. Where did Jesus go? Hey, Jesus, don't disappear. We need the breakfast buffet. I passed a sign yesterday, the buffet's open somewhere. I was down at Old Bridge. It's morning, and the crowds have discovered that Jesus and the disciples are no longer in Tiberias. So the people found boats, and even though it's dangerous to be on the Sea of Galilee during the day, they got into the boats and they sailed to Capernaum. When they found Jesus in Capernaum, they asked him, "When did you come here?" But they were really asking him, "How did you get here?" They saw Jesus walk into the hills, and they saw that the disciples' boat was gone from Tiberias. There's a disconnect here. But Jesus, in his wonderful way, does not answer them directly. Wouldn't it have been crazy if he had just looked at them and said, "Oh yeah, I just walked across the sea." So now it's time for Jesus to unpack, to deconstruct the sign. The sign was not about having a belly full of food. The sign is about who Jesus is. He uses this time to teach them about the bread of heaven. Two chapters earlier, chapter 4 in the Gospel of John, is the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. Because she isn't a woman of good reputation, in good standing in the community, she must go to Jacob's well at noontime, the hottest time of the day, to draw her water, and she goes alone, where early in the morning the women would go as a group out of town. And there Jesus, a Jewish man, asked her, a Samaritan woman with a questionable reputation, for a drink of water. After a short discussion about the inappropriateness of this encounter, Jesus tells her the same thing about water that he tells the crowd about bread. "If you drink or you eat what is of this world, you will be hungry and thirsty again. But if you focus on heaven, on God, on Jesus, you will never be thirsty or hungry again." We are so much like the Samaritan woman and the crowd. We get caught up with our earthly needs, bread, water, healing. We forget that there is a higher reason for our being. We forget forget that we are here for a higher purpose. But we're so tactile, we're so in the moment. We'd like to touch, we'd like to feel, smell, taste. And we think that is what life is all about. But what if we could take our eyes off the grocery cart and look higher? Alan, this week's trivia for you. He was actually able to work last week's trivia into a conversation. Bread is mentioned over 490 times in the Bible. That's more times than the words fear or don't worry. So that confirms that bread is essential to life. The Israelites have always depended on God to provide for them. And bread is one of those symbols of God's care. We prayed in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. There's so much about bread in the Bible that it could be its own little sermon series. So suffice it to say that the crowd was expecting God to provide bread. And Jesus was pointing them to something better and more lasting. Bread is temporary. Jesus can truly sustain life. So if you recall this summer, I'm looking at the lectionary text through the commentaries of Reverend Sproul. Sproul says that Jesus was essentially saying to the crowd, you saw the miracle, you enjoyed the benefit of the miracle, and so you've been chasing after me to make me your king because I filled your bellies. But will you want me to be your king when you see the baptism with which I am baptized? You want to enter into the feast, but do you want to enter into my suffering? Do you want to pick up my cross or your cross and follow me? Wow, that's a lot to ask. We are so spoiled here in the United States. We might think that our Christianity is being threatened, but is it? We're here today. We're online today. Without feeling threatened, our windows are open. Nothing's coming flying in our windows. We don't need to worship in secret like these early Christians in the catacombs under Rome. We can place a post on Facebook about our Christianity. There are countries where being a Christian really is walking in Jesus' suffering. Then Sproul spends a little bit of time on do not work for the food that perishes. He talks about vocation versus working for a paycheck. I have done both. So I can tell you that my calling to chaplaincy is so much better and more focused on Jesus than when I was a bookkeeper. Our send-off phrase in the pastoral care department is, let's go meet Jesus in the beds. I don't remember saying that when I was crunching numbers or looking for a missing penny at a software company. There is wisdom in Jesus' words. We spin our wheels. We exhaust ourselves just for a paycheck that does not satisfy. The bread might be good, expensive bread, zucchini bread, but it will be gone or moldy tomorrow, and we will have to go out and buy more. The water might be Perrier, but once the bottle's empty, we have to go back to the well for more. Jesus was using these metaphors for everyday items that we need and we rely on for life to explain how Jesus is the one we should rely on. Jesus won't be gone tomorrow. Jesus will still be present a week from now. Jesus will always be available to us. Jesus will never forsake us. In the chapter on John 4 and the woman on the well, Reverend Sproul quotes Thomas Aquinas, who's a Catholic priest from Italy around the year 1250. He says that when Aquinas was asked why people seem to be seeking after God, despite the Bible's affirmation that no one seeks him, Aquinas said, such people are not actually seeking God. Instead, they are desperately seeking peace, seeking relief from their guilt, seeking something to fill the emptiness of their souls and their lives. We know that the only thing that will satisfy that hunger and thirst within their souls is the living Christ. So we conclude that since they're seeking to have their thirst assuaged and their hunger satisfied, they must be seeking for God. Aquinas said that it is not the case at all. People desperately search for the things that only God can give them, while at the same time they are fleeing from Him. We want the bread and the water that only Jesus can provide, but we flee from it. Probably even some of us in this service today. But Jesus is always offering us a chance to come to the feast. Jesus is always saying to us, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Come to Jesus and always be satisfied. Amen.